Hello, welcome to Freestyle Salsa Dance Podcast. I'm your host, Anna, and this is episode 19. Today, I am joined by a friend, Cindy Ye, and honestly, I was pretty nervous to record this episode, but I'm super grateful that Cindy was able to make time in her super busy schedule for me. And we just had a conversation about Cindy's dance experience, what it was like dancing over the pandemic, and what it's like to return to a place after being away for a while, specifically in a dance context, but you know, also in a life context. It makes more sense in conversation, I swear. But yeah, we have a great conversation, and I'm pleased to present to you today's episode. Hello, Cindy. Welcome to Freestyle Thoughts. Thank you so much for joining me.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, of course. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah, my name's Cindy. What else? I met Anna through BASIC at Rice. Right now I'm a grad student doing a PhD in finance.
I didn't know you were doing finance. I thought it was, for some reason, I thought it was like something like biology, something, something.
Oh, yeah. No, it's too hard for me.
I mean, hey, any level of graduate school is too hard for me, so definitely smarter than I am.
No, but grad school is rough.
When I was considering going to grad school, a lot of mentor figures were kind of like, don't do it.
Oh, really?
They're like, all the graduate students I've met are miserable, don't do it. And I was like, oh, thanks for the encouragement. So I guess back on topic, but if you don't mind, would you like to kind of share some of like kind of like how you started doing dance?
Yeah, for sure. So I guess the very first time I started dancing was like when I was a kid. I did ballet for maybe like 2 years. I didn't really like it, so I quit. And then technically dancing, but I was on the cheer team in elementary school, and you do some choreo for that, so I think that was kind of the first time I started like dancing, I guess. And then stopped in middle school, but then my friend introduced me to K-pop, and so there's a lot of dancing there, so I got interested through that. Started doing a couple of covers only when I was really into a song. It was very casual. I kind of wanted to start going to a studio, but I lived in Arkansas back then and there weren't a lot of studios, so I kind of just danced at home. And then in high school, I started to dance a little more seriously, still at home, but I like bought some mirrors and started learning choreos from YouTube. And I started doing dance covers and posting them online and got a bit more serious about that. Then I went to Rice, and then there was BASIC, so more people to dance with, a lot of friends to dance with. And then after that, sort of started branching out more into Houston, joined a team for Goodfill, and then went to So Real. And then COVID happened, so then dancing at home, and then now back in Houston, sort of still the same places dancing, yeah.
That's very interesting, because I didn't know that you were primarily coming from this self-taught background, so I don't know, I think just like having seen you dance and your stage presence, I don't know why, but I guess I just kind of assumed that you came from a more but from a not self-taught background. So that's actually really cool that you got, I guess it was like primarily like either like innate talent, hard work, but you got to like very good before, like, I don't know. I think it's cool.
Well, that's such a huge compliment. I guess I was just so into it and trying to replicate the idols.
It's like, I don't know. It's very cool, because I don't know where I'm going with this. I'm just amazed, I suppose. So one thing that I've talked about on this podcast, and I've talked about with some guests to whom this applies, is kind of this topic, idea of returning to dance, returning to a studio, returning to something. And you mentioned that now it's kind of, the dance aspect of your life is similar to what it was pre-COVID. And I don't know, I guess I'm just kind of curious about what your experience with that has been like, because my experience has been wild. And some of my friends' experiences have been ranging from very equally wild to fairly mundane, if you will. So I don't know, just curious. How has it been like returning?
Oh, sorry.
What were you going to say?
Sorry. Do you mean like returning after COVID or just like after a period of being away, sort of like more generally?
You can interpret it however you want. I think what I was originally thinking about this, it was more of like after taking a break and then returning, but I mean, both are equally apply.
Okay. So I guess the biggest thing was before COVID, I was going to SoReal with my friend, and I was also dancing at Rice with a lot of friends. So then during COVID, everyone's like back at home and everything. So lost a lot of the social aspect, I guess, and wasn't able to go take classes or even properly dance, because you had to like dance in the house on like carpet or something without shoes, or go to the garage, but there's like no mirrors. So it's a very interesting experience. A lot of dancing in the bathroom for the mirror, or like trying different contraptions to make shoes work on the carpet, but they didn't really work. And then trying to use socks on the hardwood floor, but then they were too slippery. So there's a lot of just not very convenient things making it hard to dance at home. And it's hard to take classes or anything. So for a while, there was a lot of that online classes, like Zoom dancing or live stream classes. So that was a very interesting experience, I guess. I guess I would have expected going into that sort of environment and being really hard to improve. But I think I actually improved more during COVID and being like at home than when I was just in Houston and able to actually go take classes for some reason. Actually, not really sure why, but maybe there was less other things to do, so I was able to spend more time on dancing and just get a better feel of how things work in my body. So then I think I actually improved quite a bit during COVID somehow. And then coming back was pretty interesting, because I guess at the studio, a lot had changed. So a lot of the people that I was on the team with had maybe left the team, taken a break for a lot of different reasons, and also a lot of the instructors had changed. So it was really interesting adjusting to that. So it was kind of scary going back at first, because I didn't really know anyone anymore. But it was also cool to see the new people who had joined and how the style had sort of changed after the teachers changed a bit. And then coming back, it was nice to be able to have the floors and mirrors again and sort of use what I learned during COVID to, I guess, use it to the max now that I have the right environment. And also, a lot of my friends have moved out of Houston during that time, so it was kind of more lonely now, but sort of getting used to being okay with that and still just going to the studio by myself. But it's kind of scary sometimes. It's kind of intimidating.
Yeah. I feel that.
Yeah. But just focusing more on the dance rather than thinking about how my friends are gone, I guess. And then I started taking privates with someone from SoReal, and that was super, super helpful, because before, when you're in a big class with a lot of people, you don't get to hear about how, like, things that you could improve on or learn more of the sort of details because there's not enough time whenever you're just trying to learn the choreo. And so that was really helpful and gave me a lot of insight into how people dance, how people interpret the music, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that also helped me improve a lot. And it was actually the first time I had like one-on-one classes for dance, because before it was either big classes or just by myself. So it was really, really interesting and really helpful. So that's kind of how it's been after returning. It's been a lot more of like on my own time, on my own learning, but still very enjoyable and interesting to see how things have changed.
I don't know. I think there are a couple things that I found very interesting in what you were saying. Maybe one being that you found improvement over the pandemic in dance.
Mm-hmm.
And just because, I don't know, I think from at least my experience during that time, it was, I just wasn't really, I mean, in 2020, before, like when everything was shut down properly, I kind of just like was taking that time like as like a break. I wasn't really dancing. And again, part of that I think was kind of like what you were saying about how dancing at home versus in the more open space, it's different because it's just, you don't have like proper environment. like dancing barefoot on the carpet kind of sucks a lot. But
yeah.
Like, I don't know, even like when I returned to school and it was still the COVID year, I don't know, I think I just took like a fat break from basic, but also just dance in general. So I think it's very showing of like your dedication that you kept going. But also one thing that I'm just kind of curious about is, so how do those one-on-one lessons work at So Real?
Yeah, I guess it might sort of depend on each teacher, but for the person that I was taking classes from, her name's she asked me like what I wanted to work on. And I think what I told her was, I see everyone at the studio dances with a lot of like gooiness, sort of.
Like what?
I don't know how to describe it, but it's like, I guess before I was dancing with a lot of just like straight lines. And just pictures, but there wasn't a lot of like movement of like the middle of my body or like other parts that could be adding more to the picture or the vibe. But everyone there dances a lot with like less focusing on the pictures, but there's a lot of, I don't know how to describe, but it's like very gooey, like they move very fluidly, but they don't just move like their arms or their elbows, they move like the center of their body a lot, or like their hips and like knees, they all connect together when they're dancing. So it feels like it has a lot of like depth to it and some sort of like that added textures or like flavor. So I told her I wanted to work on that more. And so in the beginning, she taught me a lot of like drills. So there's a lot of like head circles, shoulder circles, chest circles, hip circles, knee circles, and just practicing getting used to moving those parts of your body in that kind of way more, and then adding that into choreo. So there's a lot of drills and then added into the choreo. And then there's a lot of like body rolls, chest circles, and then connecting all those together. And then over time, I definitely saw a change in how I moved. So it was less of just like the pictures, making the images and going from point A to point B, but like connecting everything and sort of flowing it together. So it looked more, it felt like there was more depth to it, I guess. So drills and then choreo, and then she would just ask what I want to work on, and then she would incorporate that into the lesson.
Interesting. And
yeah,
it's kind of nice that you have like that I guess, like, freedom to work on what you, like, to kind of target what you want to work on. Because at least from my experience, I've had a couple of one-on-one classes through my Chinese dance studio, but it's always been more focused on learning war choreography than it has been working on technique or anything like that. So I don't know. I think that's cool. It's interesting.
Oh, really? It was more just choreo?
Yeah. Like, I'm taking one-on-one lessons now, and it's just, I mean, right now we're preparing for Lunar New Year, but even before the kind of the preps for Lunar New Year started in earnest, it was just learning choreography after choreography.
Oh.
And it's interesting because in Chinese dance, you kind of get some of that tech practice and technique and whatever. It's like not necessarily explicit just because it's in the choreography, so you have to practice it. But I mean, it's not like what I'm used to in the sense that in group class, traditionally, there's like time reserved for working on technique explicitly usually. So yeah, I think it's interesting that you have been able to explicitly say I want to work on like XYZ, because I've been kind of wishing that I could say that, but I think that my dance teacher is in a difficult position right now, so I don't want to add to her burden.
Interesting.
And I mean, obviously, I think this also just kind of goes around how these two styles are treated in terms of training as well. So it's just like there's not as much of an emphasis on like vibing. I guess obviously it's Chinese dance is more related to ballet, so it makes sense, but. Said.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's interesting though. I always thought for the one-on-ones it would be more focused on like individually talking about certain ways that you do things rather than doing more choreo, but I guess sometimes you learn through doing the choreo maybe.
Yeah, it's just like for me, I mean, I haven't done Chinese dance properly with a teacher since I was in high school. So all of my technique is like super crusty. So it's just like, for me, I'm like, can we please?
No, but your technique is so good. I've seen it.
Bro, I don't think you've seen the Chinese dance technique because this shit is super crusty, like really crusty. Like I used to be okay. I used to be able to do something that were below level for the age I was and the level of and like how long I've been training, but you know, it was, if you squinted really hard it was okay, but now it's just it's really bad.
I don't believe it.
It's so bad, man. And like I've injured over the summer, I injured my left hamstring, and that's a long time to recover. And then like the other day I injured the other side, so
no.
I'm having a great time.
No.
And like, I don't know if you like had like hamstring injuries before, but like they suck. They suck so much.
Oh no.
Because like just like bending over and picking something up. Pain.
Absolutely. Oh really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Because like if you think about it, when you're touching the floor, like, and your knees are straight, like that's like stretching your hamstrings. And I've never had particularly flexible hamstrings, but now it's just like excruciating pain in a way that's not stretching.
Oh no. Are you able to like see any physical therapy or anything for that?
I've just been letting it rest because I've just been letting it rest, and then like in practice I'm like, hey, let's like go like easier on this side so that it has time to recover. Because that's what I did for the other side, and it worked
for the most part. I'm glad.
Yeah. It's actually kind of funny. There was, the reason why I'm interested in people's stories of like, returning to like an old team, an old studio after some time away is because that's
that's what I've done. And the thing is, though, with these studios that kind of are filled more by kids who are in high school and under, the turnover is very interesting after you're gone for a really long time and the environment. So the kids that I'm working with are early high school, and we were doing this exercise that we were like stretching each other out, and this kid was like stretching by one side, my good side that was uninjured and still good enough, and then was expecting the same level of flexibility on the other side, and it just went like boom, and then re-injured that side. It was very unfortunate. And then she dipped. She was straddling two different studios, like the studio I've returned to and a ballet studio. But we're at this point in time, we were kind of heading into the holiday season, so she was dedicating more time to her ballet studio to prepare for like the Nutcracker or whatever. So she re-injured me, then dipped.
No.
So yeah, it's been interesting. And so I guess that kind of leads into kind of like another question I have is just like how, I guess in like your perception, it's like how has like the like atmosphere changed when you returned to So Real or general whatever?
Let's see. So I guess there's still a lot of people there who were there when I was there and were there long before I joined. So it's good to still see that sort of that it's still there and that there's a lot of OGs who are still at the studio, and that makes it still feel kind of like familiar to me. And then at the same time, a lot of people also left. So then it kind of feels like when I first joined all over again and I didn't know anyone. Some of the people who were like just on the team with me before are now instructors. So that's very interesting to see.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I was like very happy for them. It's like crazy to see like in the time that I was just chilling at home, they became like instructors.
It's cool though.
So yeah, it's really cool. It's very interesting. I don't know. I always thought it would take like a really long time to get to that stage, but they're also really good. And then some of the old instructors moved out and started their own studio or like went to LA to become like pro.
Oh, damn.
Oh, yeah, there's actually one person who, like, danced for Rihanna at the Super Bowl or something.
What? That's insane.
And, yeah, he went, like, really big, I feel like. He was in a lot of ads with, like, Paris.
With what?
How do you say Paris Gopal? Is that?
I have no idea.
But they're really famous. They're like, I think the leader of royal family.
Oh.
But yeah, they do a lot of big things. So then the person from my studio started like working with them a lot and then danced for Rihanna. So that was really cool to see. And there's also someone who went viral on Twitter like several times for their choreo. Got like millions of views. So that's also interesting to see. But I think the studio is actually kind of transitioning right now. So before they were doing more competitions like World of Dance. And I think now the founders of the studio are sort of moving back a little from that scene and doing less competition, just more like showcases for themselves. And a little less involved in the studio, like probably, I think they were considering like retiring from the scene, but basically just moving away a little. So that's been interesting because they're the founders and they're really, really OG and they're kind of like the soul of the studio, but now they're kind of moving away a little. And I guess that's part of the reason why a lot of the instructors sort of changed too, to fill in that. So the style of the dances has sort of changed because of that. It's also a lot more focused on just, like, I guess the community and doing the showcases and everything. They started doing more freestyle classes or dance battles at the studio, so that was interesting to see too.
Interesting.
But I think the overall demographic is still the same. I don't think it's a lot of young... Well, actually... Yeah, never mind. I think not that there's not a lot of young dancers, but there's like a good balance of various ages. So that's kind of been the same. Everyone's still really cool, really nice. It's just the people that I knew have kind of moved away and then new people came in. But the next generation of dancers.
Have you had, I think outside of Good Film, I guess my question is that, like, have you had like much experience with dance competitions?
I think Good Film is the only one I've actually done.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know, like, what was your experience with that?
Yeah, it was a really interesting experience. I think it was a lot more unconventional than all the other experiences I've had, because this one, it was like me and from Rice. We like went to a university, like, another university, went to University of St. Thomas and Houston Baptist University. They had a Good Feel team. So we joined their team, which was kind of far from Rice. And we didn't have any cars at the time. So we would, like, take the metro or, like, Uber all the way to HBU, which is, like, in Chinatown.
Yo, not the metro.
Yeah, we took the metro to, like, UST.
Not the metro.
Yeah, it was very interesting. It was like twice a week. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Need to save money.
It's like, what an interesting balance just from there. It's like, do you save money or do you risk being murdered on the metro?
Yeah. It's because, like, you know, we have that free metro car with like our Tetra or something.
Yeah.
So we're like, yeah, let's take the metro. There's four of us. Surely it'll be. Surely. But yeah, it was really interesting because I think the Good Feel teams are very, very passionate and very devoted to Good Feel. So everyone was very on top of everything and really into it. And then it was like expected of everyone on the team to fully commit to everything. So it was a bit intense in that sense. But I think it was the first time any of us had joined such a big, like, competitive team, like the ones that you see in California.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was really cool because I think all of us had wanted to try that. And it was the first time we got to do something like that. And since at Rice, it was mostly basic and then Funkonomics, and then basic tended to do a more K-pop.
Mm-hmm.
And then Funko was
irregular.
I don't think they met as often, so there wasn't as much opportunities to get that sort of what we called back then, like, urban dance style. At Rice, so it was really cool to be able to finally do that and have a group of people to do it consistently with, instead of having to, like, Uber to Soundbox by yourself and then feel scared. And there were two directors that I think were from Soundbox that sort of just made our choreos and then directed us. And that was the first time we kind of got that experience too. And it was really cool because there was a lot of people, so we made a lot of new friends. And we also went to, I think it was Dallas for the competition. So it was like a giant field trip. And it was like wholesome and fun. And it was really cool to see how everything came together from start to finish. Like something that big, a set that was that long. And we would practice in like, I think we practiced in like the student center at HBU, like next to the Chick-fil-A. And then we practiced in like this random room at UST. It wasn't even like a dance room, I don't think. It was just like a large room and it was like carpet on the floor. So it was kind of like started from the bottom. And then we made a really, really cool set. And I think it turned out really well. Yeah, and it's something that I guess we were all really proud of at the end. So it was a very like fulfilling experience.
Yeah, I showed me the video of like the performance video, and it definitely looked very, very cool. I guess, I mean, it's I'm glad to hear that this was a positive experience for you, just because I think for the most part, when I think the term dance competition is thrown around, at least from my experience, it's usually been, even in my own personal experience, it's been for the most part a widely like negative experience. And I don't know, and I think maybe at least for my personal experience, I think part of that was colored by my previous martial arts experience and how that competition environment was like versus the dance competition environment was very different and didn't vibe with me. I don't know. And so it's refreshing to hear like positive experiences with competition. Because I don't even know, like even like some of the like competition teams at Rice, like Riaz and stuff, like I don't even know what their competition experience was like. But I mean, I don't know. So I'm just kind of interested in hearing other competition experiences in different areas of dance, I guess.
Yeah, that's definitely true. It's like when it's a competition, it gets intense sometimes. So that was definitely there, but yeah.
Yeah, and I guess like a plus was that there weren't like any like personal stakes for you in the sense that you didn't like personally know your competitors. So I guess maybe that like that contributed to the overall positive experience, where it was more of like you and your team and the teamwork that kind of got you to that point versus like these outside factors.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, like at least for me, in both like martial arts and like the dance competition, the singular dance competition that I've done, like I knew my competitors, and it was just a very different approach to how you behaved around those competitors. Like in martial arts, it was still seen as like a team-based thing, even if you're competing individually. So like you treated your competitors with a lot of respect, and you, for the most part, were overall fairly friendly with your competitors. But like I don't know, my experience with this, and also I don't know, maybe if it's because I was doing specifically a Chinese dance competition, which could get into a different level of like competitiveness and a little bit ugly, but it was different, very different.
I see, I can see how that would be a thing for sure.
Yeah, it's just like I don't know, I think even within a team, like think, you know, like healthy competition is good, but it's just, I don't know, very interesting how competition manifests itself in different areas.
Yeah. I think maybe because we were from a different school, it kind of helped like mediate some of that tension.
I'm sure. One thing I'm very curious about is, okay, so kind of going back to our conversation earlier about returning, but one thing I'm very curious about is that, so you were a year ahead of me, or a couple of years ahead of me in school. So the basic that you left was, I think, very different from the basic that you returned to. And just, I don't know where I'm going with this, but like, I don't know. How is the new basic?
Yeah, I think it's very different now. You remember how it used to be.
Yeah.
It was pretty small and low key.
Yeah, I think your impression of basic versus of like pre basic, like pre now basic, old basic, is different from mine. Cause I was like very much underclassmen. So I was a lot more like, I think generally kind of detached from basic. So I was kind of just there. And I know there was like drama and stuff going on, but it really didn't affect me. And I was kind of just vibing. So like so I didn't really know like the ins or the outs particularly well at all back then. So I think your impression was definitely different from like your experience was very different from mine, just because like part of that is also just because you had more time pre-basic then.
Yeah, I guess actually maybe my experience is kind of similar to yours, because back then, I think because I was in too many things at once, I also didn't get to spend a ton of time in basic. Like, I think my freshman year, I was on, like, the Rice Owls dance team, which took up a lot of time. And then sophomore year, I was on Goodfill. Mm-hmm. And then junior year, I was going to Soreal. So for basic, I actually didn't do a ton, I feel like. I feel like I usually just did LNY and KCN. Because I had never done RDT before.
Oh.
And I also never did Cypher before.
Well, I mean, to be fair, Cypher only happened like one time before.
That's true. That's true. But it was definitely smaller and more very, very like chill and low key, I feel like. Because I remember for one performance that I directed for, it was kind of like maybe a month in advance. It was just like, who wants to teach an oldies K-pop song? And then we just overdose? Met a couple of times and then just showed up to the performance.
Was this Overdose?
Yeah.
I have such oddly strong memories of that time.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, like low key... I don't know if you know this, but like when the idea of co-directing was brought up, I think I came to, because for some reason, I believe that Overdose practice was before Sorry Sorry practice. So I came a little bit early and I kind of saw the end of the Overdose practice. And like I saw, and I knew that you had, it was like you were teaching like the standing up part and then kind of helping you with like the kneeling part, and somehow like years later when it came time to like be like, oh like, yeah, maybe we should co-direct, it was like for some reason I was like, oh yes, it's been sort of done before, Cindy did it.
Wow. I didn't realize that it wasn't a thing before, but now that you mention it, I guess that's true.
I mean, like, I think before it was like it would be like someone's helping behind the scenes, but like in front of people it was like one person in charge, you know, but like or at least that was like I was like helping with the dance that she directed and it was definitely it wasn't like a co-directed dance. I don't think co-directing became a thing until like the very end of like my last year.
That's a good point, now that you mention it. I didn't think about that before. Yeah.
Oh, just like the co-directing stuff?
Yeah, I didn't realize. Because now it's so common that I just completely forgot it wasn't a thing before.
I mean, yeah, I don't know. I think part of that just like evolved into like from like the fact that there were a lot of people who wanted to direct and there were also just like more people. So this was kind of like the easiest way to solve all of those problems. But yeah, it was, the model was based off of you originally.
Wow. I remember that one was just very like spur of the moment casual, and there's like RCSSA, who wants to do something, didn't know it would lead to co-directing.
Yeah, because like I remember I don't know. I was thinking about it, I think back in November when I was in Houston and we were at dinner and I was just thinking, I wonder if Cindy knows. She probably doesn't. I wonder if Cindy knows.
That is an honor.
Yeah, I don't know. I think because even like from after I graduated, things were in need of change the way that BASIC was operating. That like my fourth year was not great. So I think the leadership at the time really were pushing for the changes that are kind of in current day BASIC. But I don't know, like when I knew that you had came back to Rice for your program and were back in BASIC, I was just thinking, man, I wonder what this experience is like for Cindy, who has to actually like deal with it.
Yeah, I feel like in some ways the BASIC at the end of your senior year is more similar to how it is now, but with some of the changes, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And then the BASIC that I started out with is kind of similar to the one that you started out with.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think now, maybe compared to like when we started out, it's a lot bigger and more like, there's a lot more people, and then there's a lot more effort and time and preparation put into each performance in terms of like practices or preparation, like even using that app to make formations and coordinating outfits and everything and auditions and just a lot more of that. Compared to when you were in your senior year, I guess the changes are the auditions.
Yeah, the auditions were introduced my fourth year, and it was kind of my fault. I don't know. I have mixed feelings about auditions, and that kind of goes back to just, like, healthy competition versus not healthy competition, but...
mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was... I don't know. Like, I don't know. Like, how do you feel about the audition system? Because, like, I know... I mean, I think... I don't know. How do you feel about that?
I think now the auditions are a lot more... there's less of them, right? Before, wasn't most of them auditions or something?
Yo, in its pilot year, it was so whack because it was any audition that was labeled as advanced and also all the KC and LLY dances that were audition.
Okay.
But then they changed it after I graduated.
Okay, so now I think you can choose if you want it to be audition.
Mm.
And then most of them aren't audition.
Mm.
So I guess it kind of gives a balance between dances where everyone can try out and join, and then other ones where people have to audition for them, and then the director chooses. So... I guess it has a good mix now.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, I remember back in your senior year, I heard the auditions, everyone was like very passionate, like intense, and they would like practice really, really hard. And they were like in person too, but now I think they're just video submission. I could be wrong.
Yeah, no, I think what you're referring to is specifically one dance that was highly, a lot of people wanted to do. But then the director only chose like a very small amount of people. And it was a little bit controversial. I mean, the entire system was kind of controversial, but that dance in particular was very controversial just because a lot of people had worked really, really hard for it. And then their justifications for making it in, for people who made it in, it wasn't really based off of audition so much as like, I think... a lot more, I think, personal feelings were involved, as well as just, like, I don't know, just, like, any system where one human is choosing another human for a thing is going to be imperfect.
Yeah, that's true. I think it's probably the same one that I'm thinking of.
You probably.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's... That was a controversial one, but I mean, to be quite honest, a lot of them that you were very controversial, but that was just like the number one reason that I think I was particular was like, yo, this shit gotta change.
Yeah. I think it's much more relaxed now in terms of the auditions, because I remember, I think I only did one that was audition. Mm-hmm. I just remember we submitted a video and then that was it.
Yeah, like in this pilot year, like one practice was dedicated to auditions, so it was very, very different. Mm-hmm. Like even just kind of like an execution. And I think maybe it's just like this is also like a result of like the tone that leadership is setting. It's more of like a, I don't want to say like return to form, but at least when I was like kind of in my last years of university, there was more of like a tone and emphasis. I don't know how to phrase it, but like there was just more of like a, this idea of wanting to take basic to the next level.
Mm.
And it was difficult because for a lot of people within basic, it's not like a lot of people like basic, a lot of people like dancing and dancing with their friends, but base of the priorities in life, basic was not like up there enough for people to actually want to get on board with some of the changes that were being made or commit to basic in a way that would take it to the next level. Just because at least for me, the reason why I joined basic was because I was coming from this Chinese dance background and it was very serious and lots of hours were being put into it. And once I got to university, I wanted to try, you know, a different style, but it was also like I wanted to do something that was required less of a time commitment.
Yeah.
So people who had like a similar background and that they came from a more serious studio, and then they're like, hey, I want to keep dancing, I want to try a new style, but I want to do something that's low commitment. And then for that group to be like, hey, we're going to be high commitment now. It was just, but yeah, so I guess what I'm saying is just like, what I was saying was just the tone that leadership has set. And I think now, at least from what I've heard, it just sounds a lot more healthier, more like realistic out view on people's commitments. And how much time they're willing to sink in.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's gone back to more of what it was like when we started out.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a few audition dances. And I think, on the contrary, I think there's more people who want it to be high commitment now. If that makes sense.
I think I know exactly what people you're talking about. And yeah, they were around. And I was...
Huh.
Yeah.
Because I feel like now it seems like everyone really wants to be very involved in high commitment. But that's just like on the surface what I see. But it could be... it could be not the case. But to me, it seems like everyone is very passionate and involved right now. And they really want to put in a lot of time.
Yeah, and I think that's a very interesting transition because at least, the basic board has always been kind of a mess in its own unique ways of each iteration. But, at least I heard from kind of what was going on with one of the positions. And, I don't know. I think that aspect has always been there. I think you and I have, I think you more so than me have been like able to kind of like remove yourself from that messiness and kind of move on because it doesn't really apply to you. I've been always a little bit too nosy for my own good. So I've always been kind of like staying out of it so that I don't have any personal stakes in it. But yeah, I don't know. I think part of the reason why there's this push to be much more high commitment was maybe like, I think one of the head directors she came from a more intense background, a studio background. So she was pushing for this more like high commitment model of basic. And then I think other people who subsequently joined basic had agreed with that statement, and then there was like that. I don't know. For me, it was a very uncomfortable push because it's. I mean, like that wasn't why I joined basic, but
right.
I don't know. It was interesting to kind of watch, because on one hand, it was kind of like, you know, I only have to like deal with it for a year and then I'm out of here and it doesn't really matter. But I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's yeah. And like, I think part of it, I can see how it kind of started becoming, I don't know. I think part of this was kind of a natural, the natural like next step, just because of how K-pop has become more in like popular conscious, I guess. And how I think even like when I was first joining BASIC, if you kind of look at the older videos, there's definitely this like, I mean, at least in the output, you kind of see a change in quality, like slowly over time. So I guess what it is now is kind of the natural next step, but it's interesting.
Mm. Yeah, for me, it seems like as K-pop has gotten bigger, there's more passionate people, kind of like the me in high school who was like sitting in my house for like 8 hours straight. I just somehow feel like we have a lot of people like that in BASIC now who just really, really like dancing and also K-pop too. So in some sense, the increase in commitment is like natural, or like from the people themselves now rather than like the system and having more requirements in terms of that. But at the same time, I think I guess you could call it the infrastructure of BASIC and the system and everything has also gotten a lot more like formalized and like standardized. Because before, I think I remember it was just like in a Facebook Messenger group, we would just like coordinate everything there. But now there's like forms, there's posts, there's a random number generator, there's all these like systems in place, which is really interesting to see how it changed so much in the span of maybe only like 2 years, honestly.
Interesting, because I think some of that was like still around when we were first joining BASIC, like at least for LNY, I from the 1 year that I did it properly, it was still like kind of random number generator based. But like I think there was a kind of a push for BASIC to be a little bit more transparent, which kind of results in like seeing more like kind of behind the scenes like random number generator kind of stuff. But I don't know. I do see what you're saying.
Oh, really? I don't remember, but my memory might have just gone bad.
No, like I don't know how much of it this is, but like, because I was never responsible for this, and I was always kind of there like, as a bystander in the back. But like, at least for LNY and KCN, because the stage was always so small and there wasn't auditions, you know, back then. So like the people, you know, the forums would sign up for like ranking which dances that you wanted to do, and then that would somehow factor into random number generator.
I think you're right. I think I just forgot.
But I know it's become, but like, I think, I don't know, but like back then, I think it was like a lot more just kind of like hushed down low kind of energy. And like it wasn't as transparent. But now it's a lot more like clear with general BASIC members. I don't know.
I think you're right. I just, for some reason, had this impression that like the number of available spots was usually close to the number of people who signed up. So there was less like people like not getting into dances, but I could also be remembering wrong too.
I think what you're saying is definitely like a part of it though. Like there, like you were saying, BASIC was smaller at the time. So it's not like, you know, and I think also if I remember incorrectly, LNY, like you were guaranteed to kind of be in that cycle if you signed up for it. Like, I don't know how much these like factors like played into it, how much the like preference, how much, like if you only sign up for one dance and then you just don't, and a random generator makes it so that you don't make it in, but someone in three dances makes it in, or like, I don't know how that played out, but I don't know.
Yeah, I guess I just forgot, but I think I'm remembering now.
But yeah, I think, I don't know, it's, as a bystander who sometimes hears about the stuff that goes on, and I don't hear about it as much now, which I guess is a good sign, but it's been very interesting to kind of just be, like, as a bystander, like, watching stuff happen.
Yeah, that's true.
And
I'm pretty removed from all of the inner workings, too.
Honestly, I like watching, dance groups, they can be messy. And as someone who's involved, part of me enjoys watching it in the same way that I would enjoy a K-drama. It's just not involved. I have opinions on what happens, but, you know, my opinions don't matter. Ooh, one thing also that I've noticed, I think, post, like, with New BASIC, that there are a lot more, like, independent groups doing stuff. Which is interesting. I don't have thoughts on it. It's just an interesting observation that I've noticed.
That's true. I feel like the people who do the independent ones are like the very passionate people. Yes,
absolutely.
Yeah. And then maybe it's because there's not enough spots to direct in BASIC, or just the opportunity didn't come up, so they do it like on the side. But I think they're very passionate about dance and want to dance as much as possible, so there's more acts and more dances.
Yeah. And also, like, I think, sorry, like, I'm all these questions are coming to mind now that we're talking about this, but one thing that I'm curious about is that, I was on what your take is that at least for, there was kind of like a movement towards, I think like moving closer towards covers versus like reinterpretations of dances, at least like in like K-pop dances. You know what I mean?
Can you elaborate a little?
Okay. I think the problem is that I just don't know how to explain this particularly well, so it might be a lot of me rambling, but at least for when towards like the end of university for me, there was this idea of wanting to do more covers. So say you're doing a Blackpink song, you want to have like four members. That's a poor example, but like BTS, like, what, has seven people in it? So like if you're doing like a BTS cover, you want to have seven people, so on and so forth. If you're doing IZ*ONE, you want to have 12 members or whatever, how many people, like you want to have like a one-to-one, right? And there's this like idea of committing a lot harder to making it a cover versus like a reinterpretation, like for taking, I don't know how well you remember your Overdose, but it was like, that was like more of like a reinterpretation of Overdose than it was like a hard cover, you know? I don't know.
Okay, I get what you mean.
I don't know. Maybe because, like, I don't know. Maybe you have like interesting perspective as somebody who got into dance more through K-pop and like covers in that scene versus like in Chinese dance, we're doing dances primarily from a pool of dances that pre-exists in the Chinese dance sphere, but you're not, say, doing like a one-for-one cover. Like there was this one group dance called Taoyao, which is like very popular. So that means there have been versions of this dance with lots of people, with a lot less people of like different ages, people who are more in high school with like younger children. It's a dance that's just been, if anything, it's been reinterpreted multiple times, and choreography has, like, the main choreography of it has stayed the same, but there are bits to either simplify movements for your dancer's skill level or to add little bits of technique to kind of show off your dancer's abilities better. Like, and in that way, it's more of like an reinterpretation of Taoyao than it is like a cover of Taoyao. And I don't know, I'm just wondering what your take is on that.
Yeah, I see what you mean. Because I remember like Jopping had like not 20 people, but like
a lot
at the end. It's definitely a reinterpretation.
Yeah, and I don't know like how. For Dropping, I don't know how many people were originally like in that dance or how that dance worked, but it was like a lot of like, you know, groups moving on and off, on and off.
Yeah. I guess for me, since I got into dancing from watching like K-pop dances, and I was always trying to like I said earlier, like replicate them, it was kind of cool to sort of have some dances that are more like covers, and like sometimes it would kind of be like you get one member that you cover, so that's like your part.
Yeah,
you like should like have their style and and their facials.
Yeah,
so that was cool, because that's kind of how I got into it. Like I really looked up to them as like dancers and wanted to sort of learn from them and kind of adapt their style. So having that was pretty interesting, because like whenever I do covers by myself, I can like choose like, oh, I want to cover this person, but then you don't get the other people covering the other people to dance with you, right?
Yeah,
so it's, in a sense it's kind of like you're recreating the entire dance in the way that it was originally. But I think it's also nice to have a balance between the covers and the reinterpretations. Like for Run BTS, it wasn't really a complete reinterpretation, but I feel like towards the end it kind of was, because we were like trying to fit onto the really small stage.
Yeah.
So we were like staggering all over the place. And then it wasn't the same as the original choreo anymore, because before it was like two lines that we couldn't fit, so it made it into like four staggered lines or something, so it had a different sort of flavor by that point.
And you guys like had so much fun.
Yeah. I think it's fun in the sense of like liking a group and liking the idols to sort of do the cover, but I guess in the sense of like just being a dancer, it could be cool to have more reinterpretation too, because you can like choose how you want to do certain moves or certain parts of the choreo rather than following it exactly the way that it is in the video. Kind of curious what your take is on that too.
Oh really? I don't think my take's anything interesting. It's like the blandest take. I guess for me, I think it depends on kind of like what, in what context we're talking about. I think my personal preference is reinterpretation, just because, I mean, in Chinese dance, there's always this sense of ownership, and this was the, it's always like, this is the version that we did, and this is like our mark on this dance. And I think that mindset, and I always say that like my Chinese dance background, because I was doing it since I was a kid and I stuck with it and I returned to it, it's been something that has colored my any other dance styles that I have done, even if it's just like a mindset. So at least for basic, I always thought it was really fun and really cool and creative when it was, when it went down a more reinterpretation style. But at the same time, I had never done a proper cover. So it was also kind of cool to have dances that were more based kind of like cover mindset. But at the end of the day, I think I always preferred doing and teaching and directing the reinterpretations, just because I don't know. I think it's makes it more visually, to me, visually interesting. And maybe that's because I have a really short attention span. So like when I'm watching a dance, like a cover, and the cover is like 3 minutes long, I tune out like after 1 minute and 30 seconds. And then I kind of pay back attention after like at like the final chorus, because that tends to be when things change. And maybe that's just because of the way that the music itself is structured, where it has this pretty rigid like chorus, pre-chorus, verse, chorus, verse, chorus, bridge, chorus kind of structure. So the dance tends to replicate that structure. But like with Chinese dance, even within the dance itself, there are, I like to call them a handful of movements that are recontextualized and reinterpreted throughout the dance itself. So it's like almost like there are little callbacks to like a little combo earlier in the dance, but it's a little bit different now. And maybe that's why it's overall Chinese dance. It's not, there aren't as many repeats. So it's very, that's what holds my attention. It's something different. And I have the mindset of like a 3-year-old. I don't know, but when it's a reinterpretation, I think I find myself subconsciously paying a lot more attention, because especially if I'm aware of what the original looks like, it's like, oh, how was this changed? How was this reinterpreted? How does this fit this specific group of dancers? Because in reality, if we are comparing ourselves to K-pop idols or professional dancers in general, it's hard, because at least in terms, for a lot of us, dance is like a very recreational thing, and we're not training like professionals. We have a life outside of dance. So to me, holding myself up to the standard of a professional is just it's an unhealthy mindset for myself. So I've always, the way that I've rectified that within myself is to understand that it's not going to be the same. Like my output's not going to be the same. And to therefore, it's going to be, I don't know how to explain this, but like, since it's not going to be the same, it's therefore going to maybe look better if it's a reinterpretation versus like a one-for-one cover.
I see.
I think that was a long way roundabout saying I don't know.
No, that's a lot of, it makes a lot of sense.
I don't know. I just like find like that question. And I know we didn't talk about this like in the prep, but like I think I get that question for people who come from like a more who have entered into a more organized dance group from a cover, like their entry was were dance covers or K-pop covers. So, I don't know. I think people's answers to that have been interesting, and I haven't necessarily asked people on this podcast, but like even just like in personal conversation.
I think if it was for just like a dance that I do at SoReal or something, I don't really feel strongly about recreating it the way that it was exactly. I think it's just whenever I do like the K-pop dances, I'm like, I want to be Jimin for like 3 minutes, and that's like, That's all the reason why I would want to like cover it, but less so for the dance. It's like, oh, for 3 minutes I can be Jimin, and it's just kind of like fun in that sense. Like more for fun than for the dance, I think.
I know. I get it. I get it. I think. I don't know. I think also it's very interesting because K-pop has its own kind of like culture around it. So like it's this idea of like center time that's not really a thing in other dance styles. You know, I don't know. It's interesting.
Yeah, that's true. Because I guess in other, like the big competitions that you see, sometimes someone gets a solo, but it's, I think, maybe less about like the person doing the solo than like the dance for that part is more impactful when it's like one person doing it or it's for some effect rather than it's like, oh, this person is the center right now. So that makes sense.
Yeah. I don't know. Again, I think a lot of this, I tend to have, at least in the cover, my covers versus reinterpretations, I definitely have like a less popular opinion just because I think, again, it's mostly been this is my Chinese dance background coloring the my opinions for this. So I don't know. It's been very interesting for me to hear other people's opinions.
No, I think that's totally fair. I think I would feel the same if it was for just like a regular choreo
Yeah, because I think, like, I don't know, like people's like when when Basic reinterprets like 1 million choreographies, it's always been like very interesting versus like
too.
a commitment to like doing a like a K-pop cover where it's more of like harder 1-to-1, or like there's more of a tendency to go 1-to-1.
Yeah, I don't think we've ever like taken a 1 million choreo and been like, I need to be this person right here.
Yeah. And also I think that's just kind of like how like you know those are filmed where it's just like, oh, like here's a group of people doing the same choreography.
Yeah.
Like there's five of them. There aren't any formations, they're just standing so that we could all see them clearly.
Yeah, that's so true.
So like I guess like my question that I'm curious about, and you don't have an answer to this. It's just like kind of like more like I got oh like I wonder kind of energy. So I guess I phrased this poorly, but it's like you know how there's some 1 million choreographies that like they kind of have a formation, but it's still primarily like featuring the choreographer kind of a thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. I wonder how that would just be treated. Because we haven't done a lot of those, or like they haven't done a lot of those. So I'm just, I don't know, curious. What would that look like? How would that be treated? Like, would there be more of I want to be this human being?
I feel like in that situation, you just take turns being the guy in the middle.
Yeah, but also it's like it's staged for one person, and generally, at least the way Basic was, it was like you had to like kind of cycle through people being in the center, which meant that there were larger ramifications. Like you're not like in a circle and just kind of like rotate one person every like so odd times, like X amount of time, you know? So, I don't know.
I don't know why I feel like I've seen it be done before, but I can't think of a specific dance, so maybe I'm just imagining it. But I feel like you would like switch out whoever is in the middle and then like change the formations on the side every once in a while so that like people who are in the back get to be in the front. And then you just like rotate between different suitable formations to make that happen. Or formations that you think look pretty or suit the dance, like creative direction of the director. And then you just switch out whoever's in the middle, maybe.
I don't know. I don't think either of us have like a visual on what this looks like. Or like I most certainly do not. I'm just curious. And
Because I think for was it Monse that Eric did?
I was before my time.
So I think there was one dance where I remember doing like actually maybe not. Maybe this was Falling Flower. I remember there was like a triangle like formation change where you just switch the center in the middle. So all three people just like shifted and were in the center once. And then switch to another formation where someone else was in the middle.
I don't know. I mean, I have no reference because this is before and also after my time. But I mean, I know, like, you know, at least for Falling Flower, the intro, like, they do, you know, shift in the center. But like, I think that was more of like a instance of like, you know, it went for more like cover energy than it went for reinterpretation energy. At least from what I could tell, just because like I'm more familiar with that dance than Monse and Basics. version of Monse.
I guess in that case, you would have to make executive decisions on formation.
So true. Bro, when you mentioned, I've had the same interaction with every time I've come into contact with him, repeatedly. And it's no, it's not his fault. I just have, I have a good memory. So it's not like I'm upset that this happens. This has happened since he graduated. But literally, I met him once at RDT my freshman year. He came to RDT, introduced himself to people in general, and then he introduced himself to, I think he also introduced himself to me personally because I was just kind of standing closer to where he was. It was always hi, I'm I was the president of BASIC. Nice to meet you. And I'm nice to meet you too. I don't know when the next time I saw was, but definitely saw him at Cypher 2021. Hi, I was president of BASIC. Nice to meet you. Nice to meet you. I've met you before. BASIC, Cypher 22, same thing. Cypher last year, same thing.
Oh my God.
And it's not him. It's just, I think it's funny because it's before he sat down at Cypher last year, I was talking to and I'm like, yo, he's going to sit down and he's going to say, hi, I don't think we've met before, but hi, I was the president of BASIC. He's going to say that. And he did. Just funny. It's just very funny because it's this one memory of this conversation that's happened multiple times across time. And I guess to his version of these memories is just rando human being, which is fair, but it's just funny to me.
Yeah, two very different sides of the same story.
Because it's not like Eric has had any ramifications on my life at all. It's just I don't know. I just remember this interaction repeatedly. I wish I was the person that I didn't, so that I didn't feel awkward every single time going into the conversation. He's going to say exactly this to me.
No, that's so fair, because I went to my doctor one time and he was like, nice to meet you. And I'm like, wait, I've literally seen you before. I was like, do I tell him or do I don't?
Was it first? Someone else.
Oh, no, it was I went to my doctor and then he was like, nice to meet you. And I'm like, what do you mean?
Oh, that's still not great.
Yeah, because then he was reading his chart. I was like, oh, you've been here before. And I was like, yeah, you treated me last time. What do you mean?
It's very, I don't know, very, it's awkward, It's And I guess for you, it's a little bit more awkward because you were seeing, a doctor and getting treated. So the conversation at least was any conversation that you had was more meaningful to your immediate presence. But I don't know. It was always been hi, my name is, and then move on. And then never talk to each other ever again until it happens again.
Yeah, it's just do you tell them or do you not? You just say nice to meet you too, or just don't say anything?
Yeah, because I think by the time it happened at Cypher last year, I was like, do I tell him that I've met him multiple times over the year, at least once a year, every year, and it's been the same conversation over and over again, or just let it slide until it happens next time?
Yeah, I don't know. It's a good question. Don't know the answer.
And to be fair to Eric, he did say, he did, after he introduced himself, and I reintroduced myself for the nth time, he was like, I do think I met you before. And I was like, yeah. Yeah, you kind of have, but it's okay. It's not that important, but it's awkward.
Yeah, it's just what do you say?
there's no good. I mean, there is, I guess, only one thing that you can say, and just the socially polite things to do is just pretend you equally don't remember.
Yeah, because it's if I say nice to meet you too, it's kind of I'm lying because I it's not my first, I know it's not the first time meeting you, but if I don't say that, then it's kind of like,
it's rude to, it's like your impression of me is rude, even though we've had this interaction before.
Yeah. There's no good solution.
Well, we've gotten very much off topic at this point, but thank you so much for taking the time with me to have a conversation with me. I know like you're a pretty busy person, so it means a lot that you're able to take time to record.
No, thank you for having me. It was really fun and interesting to talk about all these different things. I've never really had a chance to talk about like this.
Yeah, I really appreciate that you were willing to talk about this stuff with me. So it's been a lot of fun for me.
Yeah, me too. Thank you.
Yeah, of course. If you like what I'm doing and you want some behind the scenes, you can follow the podcast's Instagram at freestylethoughts_podofficial. That is freestyle thoughts, one word, and pod official also as one word. If you want to see more of me randomly throughout the week, I stream occasionally on Twitch now, twitch.tv/dxj22. I usually play pretty chill games, but sometimes I pop off and I talk about dance stuff for a long time. But as for now, this has been Freestyle Thoughts, a dance podcast. Join us next week for another episode.